definitely keen to hear what Nick has to say, what you have to say, buddy, about Loki and the multiverse, to be precise. I mean, I've got thoughts and feelings on Loki,
so
but multiverse
excited.
Itself.
Yeah. So, do you watch The Boys, Danny?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I loved
it. Did you at least click on that article? Jammer doesn't even watch it, but I want people to talk. I want to talk about Soldier Boy's costume. Because actually, they have such a claim for their... I guess I can get to this when we get to it. They have such a claim for their costume work that Superman and Lois actually borrowed their costume designer between seasons so that the person who did a hit Homelander's costume would do would do Superman's new costume and Superman and Lois.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Cool. Okay. I mean, it's not really surprising because the costume stuff in Boys is fantastic. What were the costumes like in that recent Netflix show that has now been cancelled that I'm not going to bother watching? What were they? That was obviously I've only ever seen still.
They were stupid.
They looked like CW show. Yeah, they did.
CW does better than that, I think, most of the time. I'm not even a CW defender. I think that I thought it looked like a 90s superhero costume from like Batman 90s films. That's how bad I thought Jupiter's Legacy costumes are. And with that, I guess we've already started the show. So
have we? Okay, I wasn't prepared for that. Welcome everybody to Breaking Geek Creator, the podcast, the flagship. What's the
premier.
Other thing he says? The flagship and premiere and premier an international podcast for LRMonline.com. I am your host, Joseph Jammer Medina, joined today by one and only Nicholas Dahl.
Hello.
As well as the other one and only Danny Bartlett.
That's me. Hello.
And we got some news to talk about today. Obviously, every week we have news, but this is an especially exciting week on the review front because we will be discussing Loki, the latest Marvel Studios Disney Plus series, the third one that we got this year, the third one, period. And could it be the best? Does it top WandaVision? Does it top Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Is that possible to answer after one episode?
No. Does the first episode.
Okay.
Does the premiere episode, you know, supersede what we've seen so far or what we saw in the first episodes of the other shows? More on that later. But for starters, let's jump into the first news item of the day, which I will let Nick take the lead on because it has everything to do with a franchise that he is morbidly obsessed with. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but obsessed with. Like, if you've been following Nick on anything, he has been losing his shit all over Indiana Jones. And it has been adorable to watch happen. So, Nick, tell us what you have been oozing over this past week.
We got Indiana Jones is actually shooting and there are set picks. And I don't give a shit about set picks from even Marvel. Mission Impossible a little bit.
Okay, you say there are set picks. What do the set picks show?
Okay, well, first they were just showing someone took video also. They're using an old castle. They're shooting in northern UK. Couldn't tell you where to be precise.
Northern UK, is that Scotland or is that?
I think they're in I don't know. Honestly,
in Scotland and in Yorkshire, apparently. They're in Scotland filming some of the stuff that involves a castle, potentially, mm-hmm. or a castle, if we're going to speak proper English. And apparently there was something going on in Yorkshire, too, where I'm sure you're about to touch on, where Harrison was seen out on his bike.
That's right. Well, first, the castle we're speaking of is dressed up all World War II-like. Bags of sand, barbed wire. They just recently, I think as of yesterday, put up a sign and started adding like Nazi flags and stuff. Like a sign like, please don't take pictures of the set. And then of course a picture of the sign that says, please don't take pictures of the set went up yesterday. and then we've also been seeing, before we saw any sign of Ford or his stunt double, we've also been seeing train. There's a train with a bunch of Nazi vehicles on it and Nazi and like swastikas on the train itself. Which is funny. Well, that's not funny, but it's actually the same set of tracks they use for Mission Impossible 7 for like the last year and a half. To bring it back into
audience,
Mission
News. You can see that. I rolled my eyes at that because everything always falls back into some Mission Impossible
so
or
cool.
Tom Cruise news.
Train, the same set for Indiana Jones. But so obviously that suggests something I've been pitching for a long time, just talking with other Jones fans, and Cam kind of latched on to also, that we assume there's a, before this, I was like, I think the story should open with a World War II prologue, like de-age Indiana Jones, just for like a prologue. And then you jump forward to the 60s or whatever era we're actually in. And the prologue be about him like grabbing, my pick was you do the Spear of Destiny, which is the spear that pierced Christ's skin. Hitler did actually thought he had it back in the day, but it could be about Indy stealing it or something. And that's why the Reich, the third, like that's why the Nazis fail, or that's why Mad Mikkelsen, who's rumored to be playing a Nazi scientist working at NASA, you know, how we did that in real life. That's why he feels maybe the Nazis lost. And the assumption would be Indiana Jones gets something the Nazis want or steals something in the opening prologue, was my thought before we even saw all this World War II dressing, because it doesn't make sense to have a bunch of World War II dressing if it's set in the 60s or 70s. You could have Nazis, you know, like the Nazis that hide in South America, but they wouldn't have giant castles in in Europe.
That was very good. That was one of your best accents you've ever done, I think.
Well, I like the castle joke because in Arrest Development, there's a joke where a guy wants to go to the magic castle, and then the cabbie's like, oh, the magic castle, and he like takes him to like a gay club or something.
Oh, that's funny.
So you're thinking then, Nick, that it's kind of like the opening of The Last Crusade, but instead of a young Indiana Jones, it's a de-aged Harrison Ford, so to speak, a de-aged Indiana Jones. Is that what you're thinking?
I think that's what I would like. And now that we've seen this stuff, I'm really thinking it. And hopefully it is de-aging and not like casting someone else, because we know Indiana Jones looked at that age and we know that the de-aging technology is pretty good. I think that's what the last film, and the things the last film was missing, was like a real World War II Nazi connection, aside from just him and Mac throwing jokes at each other about what they did in World War II. So before I go on to the next bit of news, including that still involves Indiana Jones, is anyone else? And Jammer, are you a fan of the franchise? Are you tepid, like, sure. Kyle? Not a fan. Okay.
I'm kind of like, no. I'm not like, I mean, here's the thing. Kyle, you guys say he's not a fan. He just doesn't care. He doesn't hate it. He doesn't.
Well, that means he's not a fan.
He's just kind of like.
I didn't say he disliked it. I said he's not a fan.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Am I a fan?
I am.
More than Kyle, probably, but not much more. It's fine. Like, I liked it. I understand its importance. I had fun watching it many times growing up. You know, Temple of Doom is like one of those movies we all watch as kids. And just like, oh my God, he just pulled a fucking heart out of that guy and it caught fire. And that, you know, that short round is so funny and all that stuff. Like, I feel like we all have those types of movies, and that's definitely one of them.
I can't say that
it's a franchise.
My memory, Jammer, I saw Raiders at the cinema. I was front row and center when Raiders came on the big screen, just to show my age compared to you fucking kids. I was there for front and center for Raiders. It's so young, in fact, that it was that stage when you're a kid and you want to be in the front row of the cinema.
Now, before you realize it sucks.
As I got older, and more wise, not saying I'm wise, just got more wise, I was moving further and further and further and further backwards. But that was the back in the day, and the young lady would come out with the sweets and stuff on like a box that was strapped over her neck and shoulders and stuff for the concessions. So I remember Raiders in the beginning. And I used to watch it, Raiders of the Lost Ark, on an old VHS tape every Saturday morning. I used to take the small amount of pocket money that my dad used to give me to the shops, used to spend it all on sweets, bring it back and sit in front of Raiders of the Lost Ark every Saturday morning without fail. Rewind the tape, watch it again. In fact, I could probably still pretty much 90% quote the whole film, even if you just put it in front of me now, for word for word, including the native Indian speak at the beginning. Absolutely love that film.
I've probably seen the first one like 5 or 6 times, the second one 4 times, and then the third one maybe 2 or 3 times. So I'm not a huge fan by any means. On level view. Yeah, I enjoyed them. Actually, the second one these days, really boring. I find the second one really boring. But the first and third one, I think, are excellent movies, even if I'm not like salivating for the.
Yeah, I've got an unpopular opinion. I'm not a big fucking fan of Short Round in the second film in Temple of Doom.
As an adult, I don't think that's a big that's a big controversial thing. I think Goonies, as kids, maybe.
Goonies, he plays the same fucking character as Data, but and I enjoy him in Goonies. But in Temple of Doom, you've got him as annoying brat, and then you've got I forget her bloody name now.
Willie.
Steven Spielberg's ex-wife.
Well, they call the character Willie half the time, doesn't?
Yeah, that's it. The annoying female character in that, and I just, but the film itself. Yeah, it's just frustrating. But it's still one of my favorites. It's still in the top three of the three films.
I thought you were going to keep going.
No, there is only three films that I've not watched.
Apparently, to be honest, I got the updated Blu-ray set, which is exactly the same as the old Blu-ray set, it turns out.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, because there's a 4K release too, but I don't have 4K. So I got the Blu-rays, hoping there'd be new special features or at least a new design to the case. And the only one I've watched so far is Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. It's the one I've seen the least. So
I've got to ask you, Nick.
Yeah.
As a big fan, so apologies, Jammer, because obviously you enjoy the films, but you're not as big a fan. I'd love Nick's input on this. As the biggest fan that you are, how do you feel about Harrison coming back again? Because apart from all the challenges that Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, whatever it was called, had, it was always a little bit obvious that Harrison was getting a little bit old for the big fast action stuff in that film, but they did well mixing the stuntman, etc., etc., and always using the hat to hide his face, which is convenient. But how do you feel about him being used in this film, which is another 15 almost 20 years after Kingdom of the Crystal Skull? Are you nervous that he won't be able to pull off that kind of action stuff and it will look a little bit awkward, to say the least?
Like Samuel L. Jackson running around in, what's it called? Captain Marvel?
kind of. But Indy's got that, you know, he is a hands-on, pugilisting, gun-toting adventurer archaeologist, isn't he? And I, as much as I love Harrison, I love the film, I am a little bit nervous that a 70-plus, almost 80-year-old is not going to quite pull off those scenes. No matter how good they mix the stuntman and the camera work, etc. I'm not saying I agree one way or the other. I'm just interested what you would think.
I think they can get it. They can make it as realistic as the last one. I mean, I thought the fight scenes and stuff weren't too bad in that one. But I don't think he looks like he's aged that much since the last one because he was already old as shit.
Compare it.
Up until the fridge being nuked, I thought it was really, really good. I really enjoyed Crystal Skull.
I wrote that the other night, last night when I was watching it. I timed it while I was watching it.
Hold on. You say up until they nuked the fridge. Wasn't that the first 10 minutes of the movie?
Yeah, no, 17,
that's
actually.
That's my point. Enjoy it after the first 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. I was just like, what?
But that's my argument to a lot of people.
You're absolutely right.
The first 17 minutes are original trilogy worthy. Like, they're that good.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that warehouse chase scene in the cars and stuff and Indy's fight and even getting on that rocket sled. I think it was fantastic.
I timed the rocket sleds when I stopped, when I was watching it. And I was like, okay, 17 minutes is about when the rocket sled starts. The movie's excellent until the rocket sled.
There you go. There you go, Jammer. I retract my previous statement. I like three films in 17 minutes.
I think you answered my question for me. I think if they could pull off that 17 minutes, then a director who's more grounded and honestly knows what, not knows what the fans want more, but knows, like, you know, like Spielberg and Lucas are kind of off into, like, we don't know what people want anymore. Whereas I think James Mangold is going to bring a gravity to it I don't want Logan gravity, but I think he'll make it work, the fight scenes, and just we won't see weird stuff like CGI gophers or trees swinging from trees or trees that save your life by lowering you gently into the water. I quite like the ants in the last one. Let me go on to the next bit, and then I'll ask one more question. So the next bit Harrison Ford's been seen both.
No! Really?
On set, dressed as Indiana Jones.
And, get out of here. Get the fuck. Wait a second. Are you telling me that he is dressed as Indiana Jones on the set of Indiana Jones?
That's the exciting shit. He hasn't worn that in a
while. Why? I'm sorry. Why is that exciting? It just looks like an old man dressing as Indiana Jones. What is exciting about that? Nothing wrong with it. I understand the excitement for the movie. But why are people losing their shit over an old man in a costume?
He's one of the most iconic characters of all time.
I mean, but we knew this was coming. This isn't like, oh my God, this
did we? They kept like starting and stopping. They're supposed to shoot this like 4 years ago. had a That's director true. And a script and everything. Like, not even because of the pandemic, but because then they just couldn't get, like, Spielberg's like, no, it'll be my next film. And they, like, went and did something else. And then he did West Side Story. And it's like, is it your next film? I don't know. Mm-hmm. This just reminds me of, I think part of the excitement comes from being on one of the sets of the last movie when they were shooting. We were just driving through town, wherever. I can't remember what college they even used to double as his college. East Coast. It was in Connecticut. Whatever okay. big,
not
whatever
an important
like
detail.
Old college is in Connecticut. But the whole town was dressed like the 60s. Like they had wood, like Woods
cool.
words and stuff. And then like, and they're using the campus and they were shooting something on the campus that you couldn't see. And then we walked like through the library where they shot later. We didn't know they'd shoot there, but we were like, huh, they have like a ramp instead of stairs. Like they're going to drive something up this instead of have people walk up it. And then of course, mm-hmm. during the motorcycle chase, they drive up into the library. And then, and we saw his stunt double and Shia LaBeouf stunt double just doing like a really quick stunt in the middle of the street that they'd reset and do again. And the PAs were keeping us away, but they'd like, you know, action, do it and then cut. And then like, all the extras would walk back and all the cars would drive backwards into their spots. And it was cool. I got a thumbs up from a stunt double.
Hell yeah.
I've been close to Harrison
Was it
that,
Shia LaBeouf stunt double by LaShuff?
Probably, if that's how stunt double names work.
That's how it
Where
works.
Did he put his thumb up? Where did his thumb go up? What?
No, Indiana Jones guy, not Shia LaBeouf's guy. Fuck that dude.
Oh, anyway. Okay. I thought it was Shia LaBeouf's dude.
No, no.
It's I like, got from
the real
be
man
telling
himself,
you about this story
stunt double
if,
to
if,
Harrison.
If it, wasn't, if it was sister, Shia LaBeouf's stunt double, I wouldn't even say anything about it.
My sister reminded me of one of the best parts of that story is that when we were standing outside the closed off set, which probably had Ford actually shooting on it. There was this homeless guy who's next to us. And he's like, he was just shouting, Harrison Ford, clear and present danger. He kept yelling those. That's the movie he chose that he kept yelling aloud. Was clear and present danger.
That's really funny.
It's like when I sent the first picture to my sister of the current shooting. She sent back a text that said clear and present danger.
That's really awesome.
But yeah,
that makes the entire story worth it.
There you go. It's just, yeah, it excites me so much. Like I followed it last time. I woke up early in the morning, especially on the West Coast for the trailer release, which was like on Good Morning America or some shit. I was there for the title. I don't know. It's more exciting to me than Mission Impossible or a Marvel movie, just because there are less of them shot in my lifetime. And I do like Raiders better than Mission Impossible. Like this is technically the third one they shot in my lifetime, but I was a baby when they shot the first movie.
So it's not technically
I mean, the third movie.
It is the third one in your life. Maybe
when they shot it, there was me watching it on the big screen. Bastard!
Wait, so when did they shoot
the third one? I meant, yeah. What?
When did they shoot the third one?
They came out in 89, so they were still shooting in 88 when I was
All right,
born.
Cool. So yeah, three. We've lived through the production of most of the Indiana Jones movies at this point.
And yet, I've only been aware of one, and I was able to follow it. And there's probably nostalgia following the set stuff. That's why, like. Yeah, most movies, I'm excited for the final product. I'm excited for a set photo or two and be like, that's cool. They're using that set, which means this is going to happen in Avengers, you know, that kind of stuff. But
yeah. So, yeah. I'm not much of a speculator, like, because I go like, oh, he's in a suit. He's in his outfit. Cool. Like, it's fine. I mean, I guess what it is also like, I never really felt like Han Solo came back in Star Wars. Like, he just felt like Harrison Ford saying words that are supposed to be from Han Solo. It didn't quite feel the same to me. It always just feels like Harrison Ford. So it's really hard for me to watch Harrison Ford in, you know, in these old franchises and think it's anyone other than Harrison Ford. So when I just see it, I just see Harrison Ford in an outfit.
Interesting, because I agree about the new Star Wars movie. Maybe that's a bad sign because they were shot more recently than Crystal Skull. But watching Crystal Skull, he's in full like Jones mode. Like,
yeah, I guess I wasn't as critical. I wasn't as critical with or I watched the movie once and I wasn't as critical about his performance in it. I don't think I was tapped into that aspect of it at the time. So I couldn't say one way or the other if I felt like he did better tapping into his old character than he did with the new Star Wars movies. But we always know that we've known forever that he's more invested in Indiana Jones as a character than he ever was in Han Solo. So
he
I would be surprised
more
if there was a difference
to happen with those. And with Star Wars, he's like, please just kill me off in the next one.
And he's like, fuck, you're bringing me back again? Oh, okay, fine.
You, JJ. So I guess that's about it. Danny, you seem super excited. Also, just in general, you're excited for the movie. You saw some of the news yourself. Like, you brought up that he's also been seen just riding a bike in town and like, half the time he has the mask on, half the time he doesn't.
We never thought it was actually going to happen. It was all will they, won't they? And it went on for years. And now, like, I mean, I guess that's the point. When you see him in costume, obviously we know he's going to be in costume, but it's that, okay, shit just got real, right? Now there's no more bullshit. They are definitely going to make this film. Now, who knows? They might shut production down because someone coughs and sneezes, but ultimately this film is going to get made. And at some point next year, we're going to see Indiana Jones on the big screen again.
Woo!
It's exciting time.
Woo!
It'll be next July. Mission Impossible in May, this in July. It's gonna be a good year.
That's gonna be a great year for you.
I'm excited for you. Marvel. So,
well, obviously Marvel, that's a given, you know, save for COVID years.
Those are the times of year when we have the big fitness conventions in the US, so I may well be on that side of the Atlantic.
Fitness
conventions. Already made a promise.
And we know that Jones is coming back to the US of A at some point.
It's gonna have to be BGRTP meetup. It's got to happen.
I don't know. I'd buy Jonesy, same
room as each other.
Jonesy keeps claimed once that he would fly out to Colorado to watch Mission Impossible 7 with Chamber and me. So we'll see if that actually happens. You can join too if you're here that time.
All right. There you go. There's a date. I'll buy the popcorn. Just don't touch my leg. What's next?
All right. So next we'll cover it really quick since we kind of already talked about before the show. This is not a good visual thing for people at home, but if you're at home, we've got our first official look. In fact, we've been getting lots of content, which is interesting, from Amazon Studios of the Boys material. They had like a special Boys event last weekend. They released a music video yesterday from season 2 of Starlight or Starfire, whatever, singing the song about a Translucent. They released a whole music video for us. They're releasing Boys content like it's coming soon.
Los hombres.
And so we have our first costume from Soldier Boy, which is literally their version of Captain America. He was the first American soup, and he had his own little group of superheroes, just like how Captain America in the comics had not just the Howling Commandos, but sometimes in the original comics, Namor and there's a version of the Human Torch, not Johnny Storm, that existed during World War II in the comics, like back when they were writing the World War II comics, so they all served together. But so he has a team like that. He's played by
Jensen Ackles.
That's right, from Supernatural, because the showrunner on this show used to write for Supernatural, and basically when Supernatural season ended, he grabbed the entire writers' room and brought them over to the Boys also. But yeah,
which Supernatural regime was it? Was it the first?
I don't know because the guy
five seasons or like later part.
It would be this guy would the show creator would be from the beginning part, but okay. He grabbed everyone who was at the show at the end, like basically all the writers when Supernatural ended from like the final season. He was like, "Hey, I'll hire you over here at the Boys because you guys are rock, and I love," and that's why he hired Jensen Ackles as well. The suit is he's got the old school Captain America shield look and shape. And his suit, and then the picture we have of him, it's his green outfit because he does switch from World War II. He's more colorful like Cap, but he switches to the green for modern days. And it just, I don't know. I really like looking at the Boys' costumes because they even look better than some of the Marvel ones, in my opinion, with like Homelander, just the texture and everything is great. And as we were saying before we introduced the show, a lot of other shows have been borrowing the costume designer from the Boys to read Superman's costume on Superman and Lois, which is one of the best Superman costumes, is done by the same woman who did Homelander and who did this one. So what do you guys think? Like, what do you think, Danny, since you actually watched the show, about the look they're giving Soldier Boy?
Yeah, I'm looking at it again right now. I think it definitely has that, which is obviously their goal. They're definitely going for the Captain America vibe when he was in the later on in the films. I've not read the comics though, Nick, so I'm going to take it after reading through the article, take it that it is fairly comic book accurate as far as some of the little nuances on the costume go. I really like it though. It looks really gritty and fit for purpose, so to speak. Is that the kind of character he is in the comics? Am I going to be like, not disappointed, but am I going to be surprised about his characteristics as this version of Cap America as Soldier Boy?
I haven't actually read the comics either. But I think one of his main purposes in the comics is like, he feels like he was the original Homelander. He was the superstar. He was like the first super celebrity in that way. And he him and Homelander probably resent each other, I assume. Knowing the universe, I'm sure he's just as violent, doesn't care about innocent.
Is he on a similar power level as Homelander? Are they both like the perfect super soldiers in that sense?
Well, he's more like Captain America. Captain America obviously isn't as superpowered as a lot like Thor and stuff. So, or like,
right.
Stick Captain America next to Superman. Captain America can't fly or shoot lasers out of his head. So he's lower level soup. One of the things I like about the costume looking at now is he has the Vought logo on his shoulder, which is very important in the series. I don't know. I think we have seen him once on the series, technically. And I think the pilot, they're showing the Vought Enterprises building. There is a statue of a guy with a machine gun, and that's actually Soldier Boy. He's not even using his shield in the picture, in the statue they have made of him.
Okay.
So I'm assuming he's overly violent and terrible, like all the rest of the boys.
What do you think then is he's going to be his role in the show then? Because he's wearing the Vought logo, so he's part of, should we say, that team, or is he not? Is he been coming in to take on Homelander, or what do you think it's going to be the storyline for him in season three then?
You know what? I bet he's brought into the Seven. They don't have a full Seven right now, I don't think. Oh, they don't.
And then he'll go head to head with Homelander, or they're just going to make up this fantastic duo, or they're going to be lovers, because it wouldn't put them past me if they turned out to be lovers.
Seriously, I bet by the end of it, depending on how much Homelander goes off the rails in this current season, which looks like it'll be a lot, just based on what we know, maybe at some point it'll be him trying to stop Homelander, or maybe he's given the team and it pisses off Homelander even more, you know. Because I think eventually Vought's going to start punishing Homelander, I think. And by Vought, I mean Giancarlo Esposito, CEO of Vought.
One thing I am interested about, I haven't seen more than a few episodes of the show, but I'm excited to see Jensen Ackles do something that's not supernatural. Because I remember for the first few seasons of Supernatural, it's just like, oh, this guy kind of reminded me of the hell's that guy's name? Who plays Oliver Queen?
Oh, Steve Amell?
Stephen Amell, where it's just like, I felt like for the first few seasons, they're like, oh, these guys could probably do pretty well on the big screen. And then they just kept doing their show forever. So it's nice to see him doing something else.
And knowing the boys, he might not even get a full season. Who knows?
Yeah, I know. Right?
But I guess that's our World War II news for the day. excuse me. Let's see. We can use that. Speaking of Namor in World War II, it's a rumor. I hasn't been someone has a source. Let's see we don't put the source in easy place. I want to find out.
Why you just say the Illuminati? Okay, the Illuminati.
They've been doing a lot of scoops lately. I don't know how accurate they've been. Honestly, they seem to have a lot, but they're saying something that had been rumored before, that Namor would be the villain in Black Panther 2.
Okay, well, we have to make sure. You're saying Namor. Namor? I think it's Namor, but I just wanted to make sure, because the way you said it, I just didn't realize you were saying a name until I thought about it. So Namor,
let's say Namor then. I don't know how it's actually pronounced.
It could be Namor. It's a comic. I don't think.
I've never heard it pronounced, said aloud.
I don't think I've ever heard it pronounced either. So it's like, it just Namor threw me off. So say nothing against what you said. Namor.
He's rumored a while back. Say Namor. It was as going as back as Endgame, people were like, they thought he might be in Black Panther 2, because there's a line from one of the Dora Milaje. I can't remember her character's name. The main
Okoye?
One. Yeah. The ones in the movies, not in the TV series. So they were all reporting into Black Widow in that one scene, and she's like, you know, nothing more than earthquakes off the coast, like we've been, nothing has been weird except for weird earthquakes in the ocean. And so people are like, ooh, is that a little like are we getting Namor soon? You know, like, so it's rumored that he has been cast in Wakanda Forever, and he could be, we could be kind of seeing an Atlanteans versus Wakandans type movie.
That'd be dope.
Did Wakanda have a coastline? What, how would that happen? What,
it could be on the coast of Africa. I don't know.
Or maybe there's a tunnel.
I thought it was there's right a in tunnel the middle of
leading
it.
Underwater.
I think part of the idea from the comics too is that, like, they're unlike the rest of Africa, which is, like, you know, normal, like us. Like, you go to a big city in Africa, it's just like normal civilization, and Atlantis and Wakanda are like super advanced, almost Asgardian, which is why they would be fighting each other, or Wakanda would be responsible for taking him on. And though obviously in the end he's going to be a good guy, he was part of the Fox deal.
So really quick, I decided to look up Wakanda and its presumed location. According to Marvel Fandom Database, it looks like it is
exactly the same thing.
Okay, it looks like it's west of Ethiopia, and there's this river, there's this little lake. I don't know the name of it, but it borders a lake.
Yeah, it definitely borders the lake. We can't tell if it's a lake. It says Lake Victoria. Now that
is it Lake Victoria?
Yeah, it says Lake Victoria Nyanza. That's there. So that to me says that it's landlocked. It's not, I mean, yes, it's on water. It's on a lake, but not the ocean where Say No More is located. So confusing.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. Like I said, tunnels, man, they could dig tunnels that go straight into the ocean, go underneath
they've been Ethiopia digging too deep.
And Kenya and Somalia, like underneath all of them. And
the
straight
dwarves have dug too deep. The dwarves have dug too deep and they've upset the lower level bad guys, Balrogs.
We cannot stay. We cannot. We cannot fight. We cannot fight. We cannot fight. Oh no, we cannot get out. We cannot get out.
I just like the Fool of a Tuck line. That's my favorite part.
Fool of a Tuck. Put yourself in next time and register your stupidity.
So
Gamma matching cans for his Lord of the Rings knowledge right now. Well, at least the quoting of lines, at least.
It's a quote of a movie. I cannot quote the books. The books bored the hell out of me. I read them all. But the thing is, like, it's a good story. It's good world building. But the man does not know how to make dramatic tension a thing. And so it's really hard to get through. It's just like, I don't know if you've ever read the books. But I think it takes Frodo like 50 fucking years to decide to leave the Shire. And it's like... no sense of urgency. Just like, oh, I'm just going to fuck around for decades. Well, and then finally leave. It's like, all right, that's not a huge deal.
Is that really true?
I mean, I don't know if it's 50 years, but it's a long time.
Multiple years. It's not even like a week or something.
I think it's at least decades.
Jesus.
And then also, like, do you remember that the scene in the movie where he gets stabbed and they have to like usher him away? And that, and if I recall from the books, he's just like walking around. It's like, oh, I'm not feeling great, but walking around, no big deal. No sense of urgency, just walking around. The best part of the books was at the beginning of the Two Towers when there was this sort of infighting between the Uruk-hai and the orcs. It's like, oh my God, conflict. Oh my God, actual conflict. I'm so excited. And it was like, it lasted like a handful of pages and it was done. And I was like, oh, okay, now we're just back to things just happening. It was a... like I said, I respect the guy and what he's done and the stories he tells, but boring. Boring.
Wow, Gauntlet has been thrown. An author has criticized.
It's a taste thing. It's a taste thing. It's a greater author. Taste thing.
I'm just kidding.
A greater author? Yeah, no.
No, I was saying he's better than you.
Oh. Oh, so yeah, obviously.
An author criticizes a greater author. I'm just kidding. You might be better. I haven't read your stuff.
No, I'm not.
It's been a while since I read Lord of the Rings. You make it sound terrible.
I mean, it's not my flavor. It's not my flavor of the week. Doesn't even make any sense what I just said, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
So anyway, Wakanda's on Lake Victoria.
So the actor from Narcos Mexico, Tenoch Huerta.
Oh my God.
I don't know how to pronounce names, dude.
Well, I need to see it where it
click
is.
Click on the article.
Name. I'm in the article. I'm just looking for his name.
Look where Narcos Mexico is highlighted. It's right before that.
Okay.
So it was already reported that he was playing a villain in the movie. Also, they've been casting what they've been calling the Mayan warriors, in quotes, kind of what Marvel's casting calls and stuff. But now the rumor is suggesting that they're casting people of that ethnicity to actually play Atlanteans. So like Mayans, you know, would kind of be like, oh, an extinct race. And the Atlanteans are, the Mayans aren't really part of Marvel history. And obviously the Atlanteans are a big part. And this is obviously something they weren't able to do before because Fox owned him with the Fantastic Four and the X-Men. I don't think he's literally a mutant, but he was part of Fox's stable that didn't get touched. So anyone
as far as how to pronounce it, it's Tenoch Huerta.
I got the second part right, I think. Only I may have been too hard on the H.
And that's fine.
So is that, what do you guys think about that? Would that be an interesting Wakanda Forever plot to see the Atlanteans? Or would you want to see these kind of characters introduced?
You mean like the Atlanteans or the, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Especially
like,
Namor?
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. It could add like a whole extra. What I think I liked about Black Panther is Black Panther wasn't just a character. Black Panther was an entire civilization. Mm-hmm. And whenever you have the opportunity to introduce a whole another group of people, you really just are opening the world even further. And Marvel's proven that they really know how to juggle those big sort of worlds and civilizations. So I'd be excited to see what type of world it is.
Yep, me too. I concur with Mr. Jammer.
Yeah, the way you brought it up too, I agree, because I don't... Kenneth Branagh did fine with Asgard, but yeah, Ryan Coogler's done the best so far. Like, here's a civilization as a character.
Yeah, Asgard as a civilization, it really... But I mean, I think that's a Marvel thing early on. They very much, to their detriment, focused on the characters.
Shiny. Yeah.
No, I mean, focus on the... Like, they're literally like, we need... Yeah, exactly.
Like the five same characters, like...
Yeah, just focus on
like an Asgard.
On,
there's just Odin, Thor, Loki, and the Warriors Three. And
they're
Sif,
very,
like, the only people who
they're
live
very,
there.
Very hyper focused on the main characters. And to their credit, I think that's part of the reason why the first phase and second phase even did so well was because they were focused on the main characters and they got us to care about them. And then now that we care about the characters, we can now care about the bigger things. And Marvel has essentially allowed themselves to take bigger risks these days. And we're automatically more invested because, you know, we can introduce a whole other civilization because we're already invested in Black Panther and their civilization. So like half of the work is kind of already done and they don't need to worry about just keeping us invested anymore as much. Absolutely. On a shallow single level, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Especially since they kind of have to make it even more about Wakanda. Just not necessarily. I'm still expecting someone like Shuri to be an actual Black Panther.
Well, I mean, since they're not recasting T'Challa, yeah, you're right. Because if they had decided to recast T'Challa, then they wouldn't have had to. It'd be different, but they decided not to, which I still don't agree with. But at the same time, it's like, that's just there's no right answer for that situation that they're in, to be perfectly honest. It's just what I think, because that Black Panther is bigger than Chadwick Boseman. But I understand where they're coming from and why they did it. It's just really disappointing that Black Panther went through everything he did in Black Panther and is now... gone off screen. We don't know what he's doing or if he's passed away or not, but yeah, now they have to focus on side characters, which good thing everyone loved the side characters so much in the first Black Panther. Like they were the highlight. Like Black Panther himself was, I wouldn't want to say he was boring, but he was like sort of the reliable center of
it. Was
a
constant.
He did what he had to do, but he wasn't the most interesting part of it.
Agreed.
Cool. Yeah.
What's next?
Speaking of Marvel and mainstays, Anthony Mackie said how long, kind of not like how long he'd like to play the character, but almost in the other way, put like a time cap on how long he wants to play Captain America. He said, I definitely don't want to be a 55-year-old Captain America, so I've got a solid 6 to 8 years in me.
Which is what, two films?
That in Marvel time, that's not very long. I mean, he's been in other films to have his character build up, and obviously we've seen the TV show, but like, yeah, Chris Evans' Captain America was in the universe for about 11 years as Captain America.
I mean, but here's the thing.
We've seen
a lot.
It's
like, we have to understand, it's crazy to think about, is we now have characters, like secondary characters that have been around longer than the main characters now, or going to be around longer. Like Falcon is one of them. Like, he's going to be around when he's done.
By the time he's done, he'll be around probably like years.
Like half a decade more than Chris Evans did. If you look at some, like, I mean, Happy Hogan is still running around the MCU right now, which is crazy.
Bucky. Also, but Bucky, he's Loki. Still going strong, and he was in the first Avenger.
Yeah, like all these characters that have been around from like almost day one or phase one and are going to be around. Oh, Vision was for a little while and probably will continue to be in White Vision form. Yeah, so I just, yeah.
No, well, that's what Jarvis, I mean, but like, we didn't get to see
but he was
him
a secondary character. Until, yeah. But he was a secondary character. Mm-hmm. And then, like, he, even in Age of Ultron, he came around. Now he's going to be around longer. So it's like, it's just crazy. All these characters that we thought as like second tier are now like kind of clawing their way up and becoming main tier. And at the end of the day, will be around longer than like RDJ and Chris Evans and everyone.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Happy Hogan's a different example than Falcon or even Vision.
Yeah, he is.
Just because he has to like film what 5 days on a Spider-Man movie, and we're getting TV shows featuring these other characters where it's hours with them, and bigger roles in like Avengers movies, assumedly. Like, I mean, this is Captain America, for God's sakes. He was the character they introduced last at the Avengers campus, like little thing. They had Anthony Mackie come out with the bag he carries the shield, and he handed it off to the Disney, whoever's one of the people who's going to play Falcon, you know, like on the Captain America on the ground, like shaking hands.
Hold on, what did you just say? I have no idea what you just said.
So Disney, they opened Avengers Campus and they did a big show
at Disneyland.
And they brought on Falcon last. Captain America last, and Sam, and they played the new Captain America theme. That's the theme of the show, and it was funny.
You lost me again. They brought out Captain America last.
Well, because they have they're like announcing all the Avengers, and they're like up on the
Sam Wilson as Captain America.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Captain America. Okay. Okay. They brought him out last, and then what happened? I know, but we'd have to.
Just like he was kind of like the like they saved him for last, like he was the big like special hero. Where Kevin Feige's like, oh, it seems like we're missing someone. And then Anthony Mackie walks onto stage from the theme from the TV show, which is the Captain America theme song, the new one. And he had the shield in the same bag from the TV show, and he opened it and handed it to, you know, their actor, one of the cast members that will play Falcon and like
the Disneyland cast members.
Yeah, and you know, wave hands with people.
Okay, we broke it down. I understand fully what you said now. I apologize. I was very slow on the uptake.
So, yeah, what do you guys think about that? Captain America?
That sounds, Anthony Mackie. I mean, it sounds about right. Yeah, good for, I mean, I think it'll be a little bit longer than 6 to 8 years, maybe a decade. Because as you mentioned, it's like 2 movies. I'm like, I could see maybe 3 movies.
Yeah, or even if they could do the movie route for all of them, they could always do, like, I guess either the rumor is Captain America 4 is next, which I don't think they ever said officially, but we've all been talking about it. But I mean, they could do Captain America and Bucky as a TV show or something, you know. Who knows if he's actually an event like in the Avengers or not? So, be interesting to see what they do. So,
what's next? What's next on the docket? Thor 5.
Thor 5.
Is that a possibility? That is a good question. I mean, we're always asking these types of questions. Like,
Too early.
Yeah, how many?
Well, Hemsworth is always saying that he's up to play Thor for as long as they want him, right? Or did I just mishear that quote? So I think as long as they get good stories for him, which they seem to be happy to make his character. I think he's the character out of all the Avengers that's had the most change, the most growth from when we first met him in the first Thor film to where he is now. I mean, fuck, not many of the characters have had that kind of change. So if they can keep making stories, I'd be more than happy to keep seeing the adventures of Thor, because they seem to be very happy to change him, or not change him in essence, but to let him grow and explore and
to basically rip everything away from him one movie at a time.
Yeah. Now things have got to be going back to
the Avengers.
All the Guardians actually die in his film.
All the Guardians die. There is no Valkyrie dies. Freaking Taika Waititi's character Korg dies. Natalie Portman dies. There's plenty of people to die. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Korg himself, Taika Waititi, is that how it's pronounced? That's how I've been pronouncing it for years.
Taika Waititi.
Yeah, okay. I've been pronouncing it right with a little bit of an accent loss. He's the one who has the quote. Well, first, have you guys seen the picture from like last week when they stopped filming?
When they show him
like too jacked.
Doing a face. Oh, yeah, and like Thor looks like... Yeah, he's super jacked. It's like an 80s film star or an 80s action hero star.
He's starting to look closer and closer to The Rock, who's like the biggest guy ever. Like I'm looking at the picture right now on our article about the Thor 5. And yeah, he's more muscular than... He hasn't even looked that muscular compared to the picture that we saw.
Well, to be clear, that picture that's there in the article is the one from Thor Ragnarok.
Which he was still big for that movie, but like he is... ridiculously big in Thor.
He was thinner in that movie than I think the first two movies.
Than the first two?
Yeah, I think he was he had more practical muscle than glam muscle, I guess I would say. It was more, he was like able to move around and jump around a lot, I feel like. Whereas I feel like, especially in the first Avengers, I feel like he was just like,
It was just like, show godlike musculature, but it wasn't very practical. Almost like the original, almost like the first Batman suits. They look good, but they weren't practical whatsoever. And as that's developed, they've become more functional.
So you want to move your head.
Or DBZ fans, it's almost like the stage in between Super Saiyan 1 and Super Saiyan 2, where they get really beefy. But, you know, the weakness is that they're super slow. So then they have to learn Super Saiyan 2, which just slims them down, but they're faster.
Yeah.
And they're stronger and faster. So all that to say, Thor has gotten into Super Saiyan 1.5 mode at this point again. And he looks really big.
Anyway, thank you for breaking it down.
You're welcome.
In anime terms.
If he keeps working hard, Hemsworth, he'll have a body like mine one day. He's doing work.
Someday. That kid has a future.
Yeah, he's got potential.
So they've already asked Taika Waititi if they're going to do another one, since Thor seems game, Chris Hemsworth seems game. And he's like, who knows if we do another one? That's the news story, but it's not a no. Because they keep the other guys have decided to retire. I know I've seen evidence that Mark Ruffalo's in She-Hulk. They have a set photo of him like wearing the dots again and stuff. But we don't know if there'll be another Hulk in another Avengers movies, but it seems like Thor will be a mainstay for a while. Anthony Mackie, hopefully.
I mean, who knows? As we never know what the future holds. I mean, we haven't had an Iron Man movie since Phase 2. And yet he was an integral part in Phase 3. So it's
that's crazy.
Yeah.
His third movie was they did the trilogy thing. Only technically it's not a trilogy because the story continues. But yeah, they had three movies. Third movie was the first movie of Phase 2, and that was it.
Yeah, that was it. Everything, he was just jumping in and out of other movies. You know, Captain America, Spider-Man, Avengers movies, hopping all around. So it doesn't really mean anything. Left. Yeah.
Then one last story before we move on to a new column. I don't know what we're going to call it. Well, we always call the Marvel thing a different name per show. We have to come up with a name for Loki. That's why my new column. Because, we're just doing Loki this week. Because there's plenty to talk about there. We didn't watch anything else to go with it. We'll be good. But last
thing. A Loki at Loki?
I was thinking use look with it somehow. So I agree.
A Loki at Loki.
Here comes Loki. Hook reference. Loki.
Those are both long. Loki view. No. Okay, fuck it. We'll get to that part later.
What's Loki, the last Loki, new story?
Last thing I want to talk about was just. We haven't got, we got a poster for Jurassic World Domination, which Domination. Actually features the, it's,
what's he excited about?
Domination.
Is that Ian Malcolm?
The Domination.
Oh.
Yeah, T-Rex in tight spandex leather PVC outfit.
Well, we might be seeing that.
I just imagine a T-Rex with like a ball gag. I don't know why.
We might actually be seeing that because this is the first time in Jurassic Park history we've seen 65 million years ago.
And you can't get it out of his mouth.
Poor Rexy. Time to dig.
Oh, God. It was an hour.
An hour, a little bit less than an hour.
That wasn't a dick thing, though, to be clear. It was just a sex thing.
You can't have sex without dick. Never mind. Yes, you can.
You can't have sex without dick. You can.
Can't spell sex without dick. No. Yes, you can. You absolutely can.
There's no crossover in letters.
Not
None
even
of them.
A single letter.
Zero. Not a single letter.
They released a poster which shows the mosquito biting the original T-Rex. And they also released a picture with a dinosaur with feathers. And these scenes actually are from 65 million years ago. Like, not literally. They didn't have a time machine. But it's like the first time we're floating back. And they're going to have a... The big part of the news is they're doing something I haven't seen someone do in a while. Is they're putting 5 minutes of the film before Fast 9 in IMAX. And they actually have descriptions of the clips. The first clip, I won't discuss the second one because I don't remember it. It must have been that exciting. Second one's modern day. The first one literally is 65 million years ago shows the mosquito, and we meet the original T-Rex that was cloned, and there's a little battle between dinosaurs and stuff. So
nice.
Love and it. Then just the other part, I won't even read the quote from him, but there's an article about how he, director Colin Trevorrow, whatever, who's back from, I think
I could be right.
Who was back from doing the first one. And who's always been a writer and kind of actually had a plan with these movies, which is ironic. Jurassic World trilogy had a plan, and it was...
Why is it ironic?
I was just kind of comparing it to Star Wars. JJ didn't have a plan, but Colin Trevorrow had a plan for a different franchise, because he was involved closely with the second one. He's comparing it to James Bond and Jason Bourne, because it's a movie where you'll see exotic locales as our main cast travels across the world to like chase the dinosaurs that are free or some shit. Oh, that's the other scene that they showed a little bit of. It's a scene of a T-Rex attacking a drive-in movie theater while people are watching a movie, which sounds awesome. Cause I actually love T-Rex like in areas, San Diego.
Like camping areas and say like, this is a dinosaur. This is dinosaur country. You know, kind of like how you go camping because this is bear country. So they have like bear boxes. Dinosaur boxes.
Did you ever watch the short film they released a year or two ago, directed by Colin Trevorrow?
I might have.
About a family camping, and like, they kind of talk about where it's like, we ever get any predators out here, but like see two triceratops or whatever. No, and then an allosaurus or something attacks them, and I really love that because that was as good as the original stuff. The other movies haven't been, but that short film, he showed like Spielberg-esque tension from like a baby hanging in a, not literally hanging, let me finish my sentence, in a car seat in a flipped over thing, and the dinosaurs, like it's between the dinosaurs and the parents, and like a very Spielberg shot of the car seat upside down, and like the dinosaur eye. Yeah, it's really, really good. It's way better than either of the Jurassic World movies or Jurassic
I like the Park first 3. Jurassic World. I like that one.
I actually do too. I like the second one as a guilty pleasure of it so bad.
I like I think I like the first part of the second one mostly.
That's the best part. The opening scene and the ending scene.
Well, not the opening scene, basically until they leave the island.
Oh, really? You actually enjoyed the island stuff?
I felt really sad when that
stereotypical game warden.
I don't remember. Apparently I don't
you
know
were
that
sad
was
when they left and the
dinosaur was like,
you see the Brachiosaurus.
Yeah, that made me sad.
Yeah.
I felt things really sad. I felt like crying.
I actually enjoyed the movie quite a bit more when they got to like,
but I hated when that fucking kid was like, they're like me. I have to let them out. I'm like, oh my God. No,
that was an excuse.
I pulled a Jonesy right there. And I was like, fucking child kids, fucking kids, you know, doing stupid things emotionally.
That's Jurassic Park for you. The entire franchise. Well, the article came out with David Koepp. The writer of Jurassic World. I mean, no, Jurassic Park and The Lost World and like Indiana Jones, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, but also like Mission Impossible.
Yeah, he's long history in Hollywood.
There's an article where he was like, I tried to talk Spielberg out of the gymnastic scene in The Lost World where the girl, the daughter of Ian Malcolm defeats the velociraptors with gymnastics. Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah, that was Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, cringeworthy.
They almost had a moment like that in Love Actually, but they cut that out because Richard Curtis, I think. Was that Richard Curtis? Is that who it was?
There are dinosaurs in Love Actually.
No, there are no dinosaurs. There's gymnastics. I'm talking about where he was doing gymnastics at the airport to get to the girl that he liked. He did gymnastics over things, but they're just like, no, we're not going to do that.
Let's just have him run up. Yeah.
Yeah, they had him run up instead.
That's a better decision.
Yeah.
The movie should always cut gymnastics.
That's a much better decision. That's a better decision. Let's have a gymnastic movie without gymnastics. Better decision.
Always.
Honestly, I don't mind gymnastics. I was just.
And with that, that's all the news.
Woo! All right. Well, let's go into Looky Looky. Here comes Loki. Or, yeah, we're going with it.
Looky
Looky. I know what this place is. The timekeepers have built quite the circus. And I see the clowns are playing their parts to perfection.
big metaphor guy. I love it. Makes you sound super smart.
I am smart.
I know.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, Loki premiered this past Wednesday, and it came out, and people mostly seemed to like it. And yeah, it was very personally, I'm just going to jump into my impressions. I think it was the single best episode of Marvel television we have had to date, in my opinion.
Your opinion is correct.
Yeah, I was entranced from the very beginning. At the beginning, I was just like, oh, this would have been a cool post-credit scene in like Avengers Endgame. But obviously, where he showed up and then the time people take him away. And then once the portal closes, boom, that's the end of it. And it could be like, but obviously that didn't happen. It was a good intro to the movie or the show. They go in and he gets introduced to the TVA, Time Variance Authority. And it just like, it is part Marvel, part Doctor Who, part
Brazil.
The Good Place, part Brazil. It's just also weird.
Cabin in the Woods a little bit. Why? Because of there's this whole supernatural thing going on in the MCU. And then we're like cutting to like it's supernatural too, but then we're like cutting to like the office building.
Yeah. That's kind
of behind the inner workings of everything we've seen.
You get to see sort of like the boring
bureaucratic style desks and
bureaucratic and ennui-ish type stuff of people just going about their day. That guy living behind a desk and not understanding what a fish is because he doesn't like it. Just really makes our life seem really nice because of how much they just spend in an office. It's all about pushing paper and like soul-sucking jobs, even in the MCU. But yeah, I just thought like the world building was just so good. I liked that we got to see a glimpse deeper into what makes Loki tick as a person. This is the first time we really get him opening up about his emotions. And I was actually really surprised just how much of the episode was them just sitting around and talking and how much I just could not look away. It was,
yeah, I was really pissed off when it ended. It was 50 minutes or something. I was like, I've got to wait another week. God damn it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
So you liked it too, Danny. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed it. It's definitely, and I know it's only been one episode, but you know, I am super excited about next week's episode. I've never had that with WandaVision, or as much as I enjoyed Winter Soldier more, it was never can't wait till next Friday. It was, oh, it's Friday, the new episode's out, I'll watch it. This one, I'm like, fuck, it's only Thursday now. God, it's got to wait another week. I'm super, super stoked about it. And I can't help but think, you know, even the little side characters that had only one or two lines, like the guards that were there to tell him to take a ticket, they all had some sort of personality that made me smile. Take a ticket. Take a ticket. It was just little things like that. Just every scene even if it had absolutely no relevance in the big scheme of things, it had absolute wonderful relevance at the time. I really enjoyed it.
I just love how much of it felt like such a, like going to town hall or city hall where it's just so soul sucking just being in there. And just how shitty people are going to be for no reason at all. Like the guy was just like, oh, that guy tried to get him to give me a ticket, but he didn't give me a ticket. I'm like, you lying dick. Like,
yeah, but that character, he appeared at the beginning and I thought, he and Loki are going to have some sort of relationship. And then he appeared again. And then he appeared again and then was just dusted. That was it. It was just wiped out. I guess we're not going to see him again then.
This was one of a handful of times. I mean, it's in the trailer. That's one of a handful of times that we actually saw Loki get scared. Was the second that guy was zapped, he was just like, oh, fuck, did I lose my ticket in the walk between there and here? And he was like frantically looking in his pockets. And he found it. I was just like, that's real feeling. I've had that before where I'm like, oh, shit, did I lose my boarding pass in between check-in and the freaking gate? Yeah, only it's not death. I definitely did that moment too,
where it's like, even like a movie ticket where it's like, shit, am I going to buy another one? Like back in the day when there wasn't assigned seats.
Yeah. And it was, that was awesome. And that guy who played that guy, the guy who got zapped, I remember him from 30 Rock and from Better Call Saul.
Did you catch why, not necessarily why he was there, but who he was? I missed it the first time I caught.
Who was he?
He's the son of an executive at Goldman Sachs.
Okay.
He says that. I mean, that's just an interesting little thing where he's like, I was wondering, my dad works at Goldman Sachs.
Is there a real world? Is there a real world analogy that you're saying he's connected to, or just that he's Goldman Sachs guy?
I mean, I assume they're making a commentary on them being like an evil corporation. But no, it's just a fun like joke. He didn't have to be anybody, but just having that line.
Mm. Yeah, I did like, hear that. I thought that was interesting. I mean,
like a trust fund baby getting his because he somehow broke the sacred timeline.
It
kind of
makes
sense,
but it also kind of doesn't. It's just like it makes no sense because you have no idea of knowing if you broken the timeline because you're just going about your day.
So I guess my overall thoughts, it's hard to agree with you guys, but I want to because I do love Falcon so much, and I thought that was actually a great opening to a show because they actually had like the biggest action scene we've seen so far in any of these, and it looked great. But I'll agree, this is the best start to a show, and part of it's because it just there's like WandaVision took many episodes to even set up what we thought we'd be doing. Falcon and the Winter Soldier took about two episodes to get there, where there's like a Falcon episode and a Bucky episode. This is just like, okay, here's the plot. Here's what you have to do. Like, this show wastes no time. And just in addition to being very quirky and having great Owen Wilson-isms that I didn't know he was even capable of anymore, it just, I like it because it just starts. Everything is started. Like, there's no mystery to it of like, who made the bubble and is this going to create a multiverse? And there's no like waiting to like figure for Falcon to like realize who the bad guys are. It's just, here's enough to change Loki so that he understands that where as far as he's gone in the other timeline, and then we're off to the races of catching the other variant. So we're going to do a full spoilers now because all we said so far, I agree with Jammers in the trailer.
But actually, so, I do want to have let's talk into full spoilers. There's something that I know you've had a chance to view twice. I'm confused by the multiverse concept of this world because the way it is, and this I'll tell you the way I see it, and you can tell me where I'm wrong. The way I originally saw it was that there's like a multiverse, meaning that for every decision you make, there's a new world that's being created and you kind of branches off into each other. We have a whole string of many different lines, like God knows how many number of them. I assume that because Loki, somehow what he did was somehow even outside of those many planned timelines. But it's not a singular timeline. It's still many planned timelines, which still confused me because he kept talking about how like the mom always dies, but I'm like, but does she every single time considering there's a multiverse? Like, I'm not entirely sure considering we know like all these different alternative things, like how does the multiverse play into what is considered correct or time? So I'm ready to be educated, Nick. I didn't explain that very well, but hopefully you understand.
No, I got it. I think that is probably in the same level.
I have the same kind of questions, Jam. I'm not quite sure how that works. Go, Nick.
On Marvel Multiverse Mondays presents Loki Thursdays, which is out as we record this. So it'll be out tomorrow if you want more Loki talk after we discuss it. Kyle and I interpreted different ways the first time I watched it. When the first time I watched it, I thought they talk about the multiverse war and the timekeepers, which isn't literally a war between multiverses of like people in the multiverse going to other multiverses, but just like them almost bumping up into each other and crossing over. I thought that as that there was no multiverse originally when I watched it, and they just cleaned it up into one multiverse, but that's not the case upon rewatching it.
Okay.
The multiverse is just all running together in time. It's not the string theory multiverse where every decision Jammer makes differently, he goes a different direction. It's completely different multiverses. This one, not even have an Earth on it, let alone the Avengers. Like this one, it's just a bunch of universes. They're all on the same timeline for some reason, even though there's talk of like old Loki in the series and stuff. And then it's the sacred timeline, because they decided it was, this is what they want to happen. So, as you see in the video, one guy is late for work, and that's not supposed to happen. So even he gets removed. His timeline is erased, which is pretty dark in this show by just blowing it all up. And then he gets erased too. This is in the beginning video. Cause they're like, that's how simple it is. You could miss work and you weren't supposed to be late that day. Timekeepers decided.
According to a lot of different, or is it just each timeline piece of the multiverse has its set time, has its set thing. And if you fall without that set thing within your world, then okay. So somehow, but the Avengers going to alternate multiverses, but that was in within their timeline.
Yeah. And they, as they say in the episode, they were approved to do that. That was supposed to happen. Whereas like Loki wasn't.
I kind of stopped thinking multiverse. It's not multiverse there. That's still within the same timeline, even if it's.
But it would have branched off in a different timeline if they hadn't returned the shit. Because literally a deleted scene where she calls them branches, the ancient one in Endgame, and Cap uses that term later in the movie about he's going back in time to clip off the branches, and they use clip, and they say that a lot in this episode.
Gone into another multiverse.
We've gone out to other dimensions, but not in other places in the multiverse.
Oh fuck me!
Like, have we not?
Did she talk?
What about Captain America? Because when Captain America goes back in time, he goes off into his own little universe.
But maybe that's the way it's. I don't know. That's the only part. Which weirdly, there's a blink and you'll miss it. The internet's convinced it's her. I just think it's the way everyone dresses inside the TVA. When Loki's running through the hallways escaping, there's a shot of someone dressed just like Peggy Carter in the background, including the hairstyle, walking with a Time Variance Authority officer in through like a door. You know, the doors that just appear. So it's like, maybe they are cracking down on Cap and his other timeline. But
interesting.
I don't
think so. Yeah, because that's...
I just think they dress weird.
Once he sticks around there, and honestly, once they all do stuff in there, like Tony going back and stealing that creates a variance where there are now fewer PIM particles, or them going back and
but that was all things. Approved except for the Loki part. Like the Avengers were approved in the timeline to grab all of it. Because that's where she's like, that was supposed to happen. You weren't supposed to grab the Tesseract, but the Avengers were always meant.
But those are still to happen. But they don't necessarily keep a straight branch. They still branch off into other things.
Well, they would have branched off unless they were all put back. And the only one that couldn't.
But that.
Put
but you're back you're assuming
the Infinity Stone.
But there are other things too, like him. I guess it depends. Like, there's probably a certain level where it's like, this is if you do enough things, this is not going to affect anything. However, if it's vast enough that it will affect and actually create a branch, then it's a problem. So I'm trying to think here if there's anything that any of the Avengers did while they were back in time that could negatively affect things. Like, for example,
he meets.
Oh, I don't know, but that doesn't necessarily affect anything.
I know, but like it could. But he names himself basically. He names, well, he's like, I'm...
No, he names his... He said, I'm Howard. He said, I'm Howard Potts.
Oh, it was like, what name are you thinking of? Yeah. It's like Anthony.
So that doesn't do anything, I don't think. So let's say he doesn't do anything. So that doesn't affect the time stream. Visiting the ancient one doesn't affect the time stream. The biggest thing...
She knew that was coming, in fact. She's like, you're too early, because she's seen the future.
I would argue that Thanos' entire army coming into the future would create a new branch... within 2012.
That seems quite a big event. That seems quite important.
So here's what I'm at. Here's where I'm at. It doesn't make any sense, but whatever. Well, let's just enjoy it. That's what I'm thinking. I don't think it makes sense. Enjoy it. I don't think there's a way you could explain it that it makes sense, but just enjoy it. Kind of like how I felt with Avengers, where clearly the writers and the directors don't agree with time traveling. With Cap time traveling back and giving them the shield. Like the writers think that, oh yeah, he just lived life up until now and they gave it away. Whereas the directors are like, no, because the past doesn't change. Going to the past doesn't change the future. He's going to have come back to the specific time from another dimension in order to do it. And then we have this whole thing with sort of like the fuzzy nature of what is what and what considers a time crime, so to speak. And it just doesn't make sense, but whatever. It's good enough.
Here's kind of the quote that I think is going to be important going forward. And the director or writer of the show said the most important thing about the show for the MCU moving forward is all contained within the animated section. Like, and especially this line, which ties directly into WandaVision and Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, just because it uses two terms, right? Okay. Here's the quote. It took two different parts. So veering off the path that the timekeeper has created makes you a variant. And then the quote is, stepping off your path created a nexus event, which left unchecked could branch off to madness, leading to another multiverse war. The two words there being nexus and madness, because it's Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So they're planting that. And then Wanda is a nexus being, which we heard nexus used a few times in WandaVision, meaning she is the same across every multiverse, was what a nexus being is. Whereas Loki was, I think they mentioned nexus beings in this episode too, and saying that Loki isn't a nexus being, he's a variant.
Yeah, I mean, he can't be because there's a variant of him running around.
Yeah, exactly.
People. That makes it
offering people gum that makes your teeth turn really blue. I think that's the important thing for the show itself and the MCU is they explain what will happen. Like there will be another multiverse war that could lead to like secret wars after Doctor Strange is what seems to be pointing to. And secret wars is how they, first time it was how they introduced the X-Men to the Avengers and stuff. Cause they never crossed over until Secret War, which was an event paid for by Mattel. So they could sell the action figure or action figures. And then Secret Wars, which was in the last 10 years, was about combining the Ultimate Universe with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, so bringing in one of the main things it did is like Spider-Verse.
Didn't you just say Secret Wars twice? One was the one paid for by Mattel?
The one in the 80s, the very first crossover event in the history of comics. There was two Secret Wars. Yeah, there's three, actually.
Okay.
The third one, Secret Wars with an S is the only differentiation, is how they combine the Ultimate Universe and the and the 616 so that Miles and a few other characters can come over to regular continuity. Because Miles, and just like in the movie, Miles was different universe. His Peter Parker died, so he became Spider-Man. And in order to get Miles hanging out with 616, they did Secret Wars. But that's all speculation.
Okay.
But yeah.
So can you convince me that all of this actually makes sense?
It's a little...
God, no.
No, it's a little tricky. I don't know what they mean. All I know is that when the timeline hits the red dinghy and they don't erase the multiverse first, then that's when they have a problem. And I didn't notice it until the second watch. But of course, at the end, we see the variant of Loki grabbing one of the timeline ending bombs. But I forgot that in France, she also, or I don't know, I'm saying she because a lot of people are thinking it's Lady Loki is the variant, took the one in France was also stolen from the Minutemen. Because they show up and they're all dead and the timeline hasn't been erased yet.
Oh, that's the one that Owen Wilson visits?
Yeah, when they introduce Mobius and Mobius.
And really quick, when Owen Wilson was interacting with that kid and it was very much, they were keeping track. It's like, the longer you spend with this kid, the more chance you have of affecting the timeline. And it's like, okay, now go away. And then like he goes back to what he would have done normally, essentially.
Yeah, he went back to course. He went back to erasing it. And I mean, that's what's dark about it is when they have those little reset things.
Erasing it. Are they erasing it?
They're destroying it. When they say they're snipping the clips or they're resetting, resetting means we're wiping out the entire timeline because it's not supposed to exist. That's what those bombs do is they destroy that entire timeline. So that version of that little girl died after he sent her outside.
Oh, that was a girl? I thought it was a boy.
Entire timeline. I thought it was just that moment in time.
No, like for example, it would erase the new timeline that Loki created by stealing. So everything that happened after he stole... You know, Back to the Future, it branched off when he stole the Tesseract. So when they set the charge, it destroys everything back to the point where he escaped.
Okay,
erases everyone who's split, basically.
But that kid, so it's just that kid, essentially.
No, it's everyone who has lived in that timeline for, 5-10 minutes or something? So that version of everyone gets erased.
But they all continue in their own worlds.
Yeah, but then there's the original timeline, the sacred timeline, which is supposed to happen. These same people are alive, but they erase anything that's gone off to the side. Like clipping a branch means
wiping out
everyone on the variant timeline.
Yeah, they carry on. They're oblivious to what their future selves have lost. Yeah. But they carry on. Other, I thought you meant they wiped them from existence. I thought that's a bit fucking unfair that they...
from existence, but they have no idea.
Technically, yeah, those are the alternate versions. Yeah, the alternate versions are technically gone.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay.
So that's how that part works, as far as I believe it.
So what I'm hearing is that it doesn't really make sense, but it makes enough sense for us to care. So
yeah,
we'll go that route.
It makes comic book sense.
Yeah. Cool. Any other last thoughts about Loki?
Yeah. The Infinity Stones, bro.
Oh, that was great. Yeah,
they have multiple copies of the same Infinity Stones even. It's like, we just use them as paperweights. But like, that shows how powerful they are within their own world. Know what I mean? Like, they have all the powers of all the Infinity Stones, someone pointed out. They can change reality. They can change time. They can, you know, move through space pretty easily.
It's basically the equivalent of like humans right now compared to humans, you know, 100 years ago or hundreds of years ago. Like, what is that expression, like the average person now has like a better quality of life than Louis the 14th or something.
Yeah,
and it's like nothing to us, or it's like us just like flipping around on our phones and just with a flick of our like a couple taps, get food like delivered to us, or you know are able to transfer millions of dollars or create an entire living within a small room in an internet connection. It's basically the equivalent of that, except on a macro scale.
Because yeah, I mean, if someone were gonna do a heist, they could easily grab more than one copy of each stone and get out of there. And I just think that's very
interesting. Once you're out of the TVA, you have all the powers, right?
I guess.
So if you grabbed all the stones and you somehow got back to Earth or to the world, the real universe, you're Thanos again. Like you have the powers.
Or they can snip you.
Or they can snip you.
But
snap. But he could snap them before they snipped him.
Snap and a snip. what was another thing I wanted to make? I don't know. Obviously, I loved Owen Wilson. I can't believe how good
he is. Yeah, he was great. I don't know why it's obvious. Because, I mean, yeah. I like Owen Wilson. It's funny. To a generation of people, this is going to be Owen Wilson for them.
Yeah. With the gray hair and everything.
Does he have gray hair?
Not a wow yet.
No wow yet. I think he's going to be the Coulson of this series. I think he's going to die at the end, and it's going to be very tragic.
I love seeing Coulson again, even though it's shots we've already seen. And it is, I don't know. I know it's just a scene we've seen before, but it's pretty powerful seeing and hearing Josh Brolin's voice in the Marvel Cinematic Universe again. You're like, oh, I know he's dead, but oh shit, that's Thanos.
Yeah.
But Nick, I think this is
also,
question.
It was how, also how Marvel you, confirming you, that Coulson's sorry, dead.
That
was what I was going to ask, because I thought that, and again, I'm pretty confident I've asked this question about 500 times. Is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. canon? Because if it is, then Coulson's not dead. But that's been taken off canon now, is it? Because it used to be canon, didn't it?
They it's used to canon. Say that Netflix shows were, but and they actually, I was surprised. I watched like the first half of the seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I was actually surprised how much they tie it into the movies.
Shield falling for Winter Soldier. Yeah. Like I remember Bill Paxton going Hail that. Hydra.
Like they talk about Sokovia and other stuff even. Well, I said Sokovia with the weird accent.
Yeah. You know,
head on over to
like
Sokovia.
A Midwestern accent.
I was thinking like
or like a leprechaun.
Off to Sokovia. That's a whole different accent. So I'm sure there's other things to say about it. Like I can't remember what else. I like Loki.
Yeah, Loki, I thought, like I said, best hour of Marvel television we've had to date. I was the most engaged I've been from beginning to end. I got nothing else. It's a good show. I hope it continues to be as good as it is now.
And if you want to hear more conversation about it, listen to Marvel Multiverse Mondays, where Kyle and I talk about it longer. And we point out a lot of Easter eggs.
I'm going to drag this conversation.
It airs on Thursdays.
You know that bit when he kind of opened up at the end and he was saying, I do this because... XYZ. We've seen Loki pretend that shit before. If there's anywhere in the he's feigned sadness before, he's put on shows before. If there's anywhere where the god of mischief could cause the most fucking mischief, it's in a place like this.
Interesting. I thought it was sincere, but you're right.
And he's already started to get his hang about how those little gadgets work and where how that world works, and that was just in his first what? Should we just assume his first 50 minutes of being there, the same as ours? If anyone was going to cause a load of shit in that place, it would be the god of mischief. And he did mention that he was a god of mischief at least 5 times in the first 10 minutes.
I like so when Owen Wilson calls him on that. He's like, "What? This isn't mischief." Like,
yeah, this is just
doesn't sound like mischief to me. One detail I didn't mess.
You think there's potential there that he's actually just playing the game and seeing what he can get away with, what he can do, et cetera, et cetera?
I know he'll play them as much as possible, but I don't want to... Yes, he'll play them a lot, but I don't think he'll go full, like, I'm joining the other Loki and we're going to take over the multiverse evil, because we've seen that too often, I think, of Loki making
I think
big
by Thor Ragnarok, they realize that we're ready to see him change, so I think it would make sense for him, this version of him, to change quicker than that one took to change.
Seems like the video got, I mean, they were able, that's what's amazing about this episode. They were able to, at least unless he's lying completely, like Danny may be right, that they got a whole 10 movies worth of change done in an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 years worth of change.
I mean, seeing your entire future.
Yeah.
Seeing your entire future could definitely prompt change. So I don't think it's unrealistic or unrewarding for that to happen.
I like the tears he has. Not just for when his parents and stuff die, but when him and Thor are working together, he's like crying. And then they got to make that snap sound so vicious when his neck got snapped because they didn't show it. So they're able to increase the sound effect. Like, and I don't know. And there's some other interesting stuff in it. You know, obviously there's the DB Cooper thing, which I love because it was a bet with Thor.
Yeah, that was great. Like, as when, when he said Heimdall, I was like, is Heimdall in on this? Like, I just imagined this guy, like, oh, this fucking kid.
They're all drinking.
Fine, I'll pick you up.
But then, like, and there's other little details like that, too, that Owen Wilson's actually drinking a discontinued, it's not like a Marvel made-up brand. Owen Wilson, that soda he's drinking is a discontinued soda.
Was it Tab? For some reason,
it's something more, someone I've never heard of. I've obviously heard of Tab, but he's drinking an obscure one that's been, hasn't been in production for decades.
Yeah, this one, the whole setting was like, what, 70s, I feel like?
But at the same time, no time. But that's the look of it, yeah. But it just gives the idea that they can jump into any time period they want and be like, well, this is my favorite brand of soda. I'm going to the 7-Eleven in 1973 or whatever just to grab some of my favorite soda. Or maybe I'll send the intern.
What's the soda called? It was defunct soda.
I think I wrote it down.
I didn't even think we saw the thing.
Josta. Josta.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I mean, that's it. Yeah. But I'm trying to think of when it was. Josta, first some background, 1995, before the caffeinated energy drinks like Red Bull became a staple, PepsiCo
made its
initial foray into this potentially lucrative market by test marketing Josta in the Phoenix area, according to 1996 AP story. The following year, the company did a wider rollout of the red-colored carbonated beverage, touting a special ingredient, guarana, a caffeine-rich berry common in Brazilian drinks and now commonly found in U.S. energy drinks like Red Bull, Monster, and Rockstar. There's other stuff, but...
just stuff like that. Marvel knows their details. And no, Kyle and I are not talking about Mephisto at all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're not. The director said it wasn't, so...
No, and I already is at this point. I'm like, even if I think it's him, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. There's too much backlash.
Except you did. You did talk about it.
What's that? Oh, yeah, bringing it up as a joke because one of the things I thought he was in WandaVision was because of the stained glass window, but they already explained that away pretty easily.
Well, they were obviously Loki.
Yeah. Loki. And that's the, Kyle thought it was, she pointed to it just cause she saw it as a devil, but I think Loki was whoever Loki was wearing the horns and is dressed in green like the devil. So I was like, no, he doesn't. None of the Lokis walk around in horns unless they're giving speeches. And I'm like, I think she pointed the picture for the horns more than the fact that it was a devilish creature. But I do have one last question about it that I also asked Kyle. What reward do you think Loki will get if everything goes right? I don't think everything will go right, but let's say they complete the mission perfectly. Kyle thinks Loki will get a position at the TVA, but I'm like, well, like, will they give him back his life? Will they plop him down in the timeline like in 2025 or something? Be like, here's your life back. You can be back in the main timeline. Obviously, I think things are going to go crazy based on Doctor Strange and some others, you know, and I don't actually imagine the show having a happy ending. And I wouldn't be surprised if Loki dies eventually before he is, but like, I'm just wondering what he expects to get. If everything goes right, what his reward would be.
What he expects to get or what it will be?
What they're offering, what it will be, but it actually won't be because it won't go perfectly.
Yeah, I think he'll continue. Like maybe he can continue off in 2025 or whatever forward, and
so they
maybe
plop him back in. You think?
Yeah, and then maybe he could show up in Thor: Love and Thunder. What?
What? That would have leaked somehow. It leaked everybody else in that movie. Well, cool. Yeah, I'm satisfied with glorious purpose.
How many episodes is this show? Do we know? 10?
I think it's 6.
All the hour long. Kevin Feige wants every show to be 6 hours, whether it's 30-minute episodes, which is why WandaVision was 9 episodes long, or if it's hour-long episodes, just 6 episodes.
Cool. Good. I like that.
Yeah, 6 seems perfect. So, and of course, interestingly, this will cross over with, not crossing over, but we'll still be watching this show when Black Widow comes out.
Oh, that's true.
And I assume that'll happen a lot in the future since there are 4 Marvel movies left. And like, I think they announced there are 6 Marvel TV shows coming out this year. So there are 5, though.
There's Ms. Marvel's coming, right? Ms. Marvel's coming this year.
Hawkeye and What If. And What If is apparently more attached to the MCU than we thought.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was just sort of like a side thing.
It is, but maybe it'll deal with some of these timelines that get broken or something.
Oh, right.
Because it is the Watcher, and he's just kind of looking at all of it. And of course, I do expect to see Kang in this show because they cast him pretty early for Ant-Man and the Wasp, even if we just see him like a Thanos-type character. Mm. This is leading up to it. I think it's, as they say, Kevin Feige says it's the most important TV show so far as connections. I think it'll have connections to Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, Ant-Man, and I think we're going to build up Kang as our next Thanos, even if it's not 10 years of teasing him, like maybe an Avengers movie or two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Cool. But yeah, great television show so far. I really hope it sticks the landing. They got 5 more hours. Come on, Marvel, you got this.
Hell yeah. I'm with you.
Really quick, I don't want to dive into a whole who watches. Do you watch Mythic Quest, Danny?
Yes, sir. I haven't started season 2 yet, though. So if you can talk about it, it's fine. Absolutely fine with the spoiler stuff, but don't go too deep into it. I haven't started it yet. I love it. I think it's fucking brilliant.
Season 2, I think, is better than season 1 so far, especially they have
brilliant.
They have their one-off episode. In season 1, they had that one episode where you followed the game developers, played by Jake Johnson and what's her name?
Uh-huh.
And this one, they have another one of those episodes. It's so good. It is so good. It's a flashback. Actually, I'm not going to say.
I'm not going to say what it is. About it, but yeah.
I tell you what, I've actually got the day off tomorrow. I'm going to watch it tomorrow. There you go. That's it. Tomorrow.
Yeah, do it. It's great.
Right. I'll add a short
great character stuff.
Who watches, just because it shows a change in my taste slightly. I watched the first season of Castlevania, and I liked it.
Oh.
And that's anime.
I thought it's not anime. It's America produced. Doesn't count.
It's that style for sure. That's what I was going to ask too.
It's fine. I mean, sure, it's anime style. Yeah, sure. You can call it anime. But I still in my mind delineate a little bit from, you know, I put it over there with like Avatar, where it's just like American produced animation that kind of takes on the style of anime.
This looks way more like anime than I think Avatar The Last Airbender. It's really stylistic.
It is stylistic. But yeah, I watched the first season and I thought it was fine. And I haven't really watched beyond that. I hear it's great.
I'm halfway into the first episode of the second season. So
it's good. You like it?
Yep.
What is it about that you like?
It's just a cool story. I don't know. I don't know.
I like how I asked a simple question and you're like stumbling over yourself.
Well, I like vampire stuff.
I
like vampire stuff. And when I got into the second episode, I really enjoyed Simon Belfont's character. He's a constant teen. He deals with supernatural shit. He's sarcastic as hell, and he's an asshole, like, and a drunk. So it's like watching more Constantine to me. He's a very Constantine character, so. But he knows his shit, but he's still drunk, so.
Yeah, I vaguely remember him. I should get back into it. I like those Castlevania games a lot. I actually was feeling, I was like, I want to play Castlevania, except there's no Castlevania really available on a system that I own right now. Or at least not a Metroidvania Castlevania. So I just downloaded Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which is close. Essentially that. It's close. It's okay. I'm a little disappointed. The character control feels really heavy. And the graphics are kind of ugly. So it didn't quite scratch the itch, but it was good enough. I want to dig back into some of like the
dig back. We did it.
Dig back into one of like the Symphony of the Night or one of like the Game Boy Advance /DS games that were amazing. They were so good.
Cool.
And that's all I have to say.
Same. Cut check.
Me too. I got nothing.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for this episode of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. If you wanna see some great stuff, go to lrmonline.com, of course. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. Tell us why you love us. And if you do that, we may very well mention it on a future episode of the podcast. So yeah, go to Apple Podcasts, 5-star review, and tell us why you love us. And follow us at @LRM_exclusive on Twitter, the official site there. And what about you, Nick? Where can people find you?
@GeekyNickDoll. And again, if you want more in-depth Loki talk, check out this week's issue. I'll call it an issue, but it's comic booky. Of Marvel Multiverse Mondays presents Loki Thursdays. which by the time you listen, it actually came out early Thursday morning. You can watch it too if you want on our YouTube page.
And where can people find you, Daniel?
I occasionally surf the Twitterverse on Danny K. Bartlett, and occasionally get involved in that lovely Discord channel too. So please join us there if you have any comments, questions, or queries about anything we've said tonight, whether you agree or whether we talked a load of bollocks or not.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter, and you could become a patron of mine at patreon.com/AJCerna, where you can get all sorts of updates and exclusive goodies on some books that I have coming down the pipe. And yeah, you can find all my books under the name AJ Cerna on Amazon and Audible. So
that artwork for the new mage, I forget her name, that's really fucking cool, by the way. Thank you. Yeah, that's cool.
I can show you a little something.
Yeah, that was really cool.
See here, Holmes, see if I can pull this up right now. Is it here? I know this is terrible radio, but I'm going to do it anyway. Fuck it. Actually, no, I can't find it. We'll show you off camera. But thank you so much, everybody. Hasta lasagna.
Doki and Anya.
Mission accomplished.